Hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. Hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. I wouldn't mind the hanging, but the laying in the grave so long, poor boy, been all around this world.
Hey everybody, we're back.
We are back.
My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And yes, you guys are listening to the Carolyn and Joe Show. How's it going, Carolyn?
Wow, that was like pretty epic. You went in another dimension there.
I figure I need to go pretty epic because we had a little break, you know, so bring it back in full force.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But you know what? I still think we need to put out two podcasts this week to make
up for it. You know
what I'm saying?
We'll try it. You know what I mean?
So is this our 300th episode?
This is.
Oh my God.
So it's another reason to be more epic. As epic as we possibly can. I don't know how we can do it. There you go.
We need that type of music that's like during the fireworks.
Sure. I'll grab that out of thin air, wherever that happens. But just so if you guys are listening to the first time, the first ever 300th episode, my name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, and across from me is cartoonist, designer, exceptional person, extraordinaire, the most beautiful, Carolyn Bilewski.
Hi guys.
How's the world doing? How's the world doing according to Carolyn?
The world is interesting.
Nice. It's better to be interesting than boring, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like a little bit relieved this week because all of my quote-unquote appearances are done for the end of the year. So, like, 2014 is still going to be here, and I still have stuff to do.
You still got 2 months.
I mean, it's not like I have nothing to do. It's not like it's
still
over.
Over six weeks? Eight weeks left?
It does, but this,
you have a whole summer worth of winter and fall.
This week did mark, though, the end of the scheduled appearances for 2014. Because New York, the last time we left you off with the podcast for issue 299. That'd be cool to start calling the podcast episodes issues, but
sure, we'll do
I guess that.
That
overlaps with the comics.
Yeah,
we'll make
that happen.
So whatever, episode 299, we were joined with Teresa and Jessica as our special guests, and we were headed to New York Comic Con, I guess like 6 hours later or something crazy like that. So yeah, that New York Comic Con was a great experience. We should talk about that during the podcast. But not only that, I guess the following weekend, the following Sunday, we had Annapolis Comic Con, and then this week, the next Wednesday, I had a special drawing seminar from AIGA DC for DC Design Week. It's actually called Design and Doodle Workshop. So that was my last appearance, and now's my news.
Now it's your news. This is the moment.
This is the moment.
This is the 5 minute period in which Carolyn can talk about anything in the news generation, and I chill out.
Yeah,
I will chill
because you know, usually during this music we get to talk about our tour dates. So now I'm recapping some of the tour for the past couple weeks. Yeah, so basically we should talk about New York Comic Con, we should talk about Annapolis Comic Con, we should talk about Design and Doodle. So those are all three things that happened within the past week or so, or like a week and a half, that it's pretty amazing stuff.
But this is, the news section is about the future though, isn't it?
Yeah, future, okay.
News is the future, the show is the whatever it is.
The futuristic Trent Reznor music will imply that we're moving into the future. I mean, I have some things up coming up my sleeve. I can't necessarily discuss right now, but I will say our next tour dates are like in March. Give you a little tease. Hey, Pittsburgh, where are you at, Pittsburgh?
March is a good month.
Pittsburgh, I'm coming for you, cause I'm gangsta. Yes, Pittsburgh, we will be in your town in March. That's right.
Take heed.
And I have not been in Pittsburgh since May of 2013. So you know what? I'm coming for you.
Coming for you.
Some gangsta. But yeah, no, seriously, I guess we go to Pittsburgh every 2 years. Joe, you haven't been to Pittsburgh in a while. Because you were not there when I went in 2013.
But it seems like almost a whole lifetime ago.
Yeah, I mean, we got it. First of all, there's so many great things about Pittsburgh. And pierogies are an amazing thing. Because I specifically go to, like, hunt each time I go there, a different place, to try to hunt different pierogies and sample different flavors. And there's so many to choose from there.
Oh, yeah.
And also, they have, like, this restaurant called Primani Brothers. I think that's how you pronounce it. I'm probably mispronouncing it because I'm not authentic Pittsburghian or whatever you want to call yourself.
Pierogian?
Pierogians. But anyway, yeah, this sandwich puts in the special French fries into the sandwich. And I heard just last night that they are now delivering. So you can order your Primani Brothers sandwich. Of course, I guess like the pack to order, I think is over $100 and you get a t-shirt. I mean, you must have to really love that place to basically get a couple sandwiches for $100. But I guess it's good to know that they do that. I mean, how often do you get to go to Pittsburgh if you don't get to go there all the time? That's and you right. love their sandwiches. So, yeah, plug for them. But they did not sponsor the plug, but I'll plug
we're,
them.
We're sponsoring the plug.
We're sponsoring the plug. But yeah, I mean, no. I'm Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but no.
Yeah, but no. But Pittsburgh is an interesting place, you know? It's good stuff. And also in Monroeville, which is, I guess, 20 minutes outside of Pittsburgh. It's a pretty cool place to hang out. And one of my favorite restaurants is there. I don't know if I should disclose it because it's, like, so good. But then I'm not, like, doing them a favor of the advertising.
Just disclose it, man. Just disclose it.
Well, you know, if you're ever in town in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, you gotta check out this place. It's Italian. It's called Esta Esta.
Esta Esta.
And one time I went on their Yelp page, and they get like 50-50 reviews. Like, some people are like, this place is really scary. It's probably one run by the mob. And
but then that's
and
a good part. That's a good thing, isn't it?
It looks like you went back like two generations. But then, and like they say it's like stuffy and stuff. But then a couple other people are, they like, I guess I dig their vibe, and they're like, yeah, we get it. So you gotta get it to get it. But yeah, Esta Esta, I thought that was good food. I mean, I guess some people, like, had a problem with the food, but I don't know, man. I don't know how to, like, really do the Yelp reviews.
Way to sell it, Carolyn. It's like, it's 50-50, it's all right. Some people like it, some people don't like it.
No, but I like reading the reviews of other people. Because do you know there are places that, like, straight across the board, it's probably, like, 95% everyone's like, this place is awesome, this place is great. And, like, I don't know if, like, their employees do it or, like, I don't know, their friends and stuff do it. But I guess there is some overwhelming amount of, like, Yelps. Like, some places are just rated higher, you know?
Yeah.
But then there
like
are...
McDonald's.
Nah. But then there are some places that are, like... You know the places that are, like, really bad when they probably get, like a 15 or 20% approval rating?
Sure.
It's like, yeah, that place is pretty bad.
You know me at this point in my life. It's hard for me to really, really trust any reviews.
Yeah, and, like, I think what if we had a year ago,
what if we had, like, something like Yelp? What if we had something like Yelp, but for people? That's fantastic.
That's pretty much LinkedIn, right?
That would be fantastic.
But no one, like, would be honest about LinkedIn. No one would be like, this guy, all he does is, like, research atheist websites all day long.
Well, that's
he
how
he doesn't do any work.
That's how it is. I mean, beyond, you know, beyond, like, LinkedIn, just, like, the real-life Yelp, you know, people just, like, you know, it's going to come to a point where everyone's on a database now. Everyone has a Facebook or a social media or something or an email. Mm-hmm. And all you do is you look up the human Yelp. And then you can see what people say about this one specific person. And they have, like, star ratings.
What I would like, actually, is, like, my vacuum, it has this light on it that shows if it's clean or dirty. So if it's clean, you get the green light. If it's dirty, you get the red light, and you kind of spend more time vacuuming that area.
But even that's a little bit of a challenge, isn't it?
But I wish they have that for humans.
They probably do have it.
You know, like, you can go to a vacuum or, like, wave a magic wand and be like, red light, this guy's bad. That would be kind of cool. Like, or have some app on
dogs
the phone.
Have that, don't they?
Dogs do, but sometimes dogs bark at me and I didn't do anything to them, and maybe I don't know why they think I'm bad.
It's not about bad. They're trying to decipher the you know, the, you,
they
you
think
have
I'm
to
a threat?
They have to decipher the language. You have to figure out what they're trying to say.
But back to the Yelp thing, we did report on the Carolyn and Joe show about maybe 100 episodes ago that
what, at episode 200?
Maybe not probably that exact episode. I can't remember, but I guess over a year or so ago, we did report about this place called, I guess it was
100 weeks
Barbecue
ago.
World, Barbecue World in geez, Burke, I guess?
Yeah, Burke Center.
Burke Center, Barbecue World. And we've never eaten there, but it always looks so shady. But I'm happy to report that place is no longer.
But why are you happy?
I drove by it.
How come you're happy to report? Because you never had their cuisine.
I never had their cuisine. Their reviews were really bad and hysterical.
But they've been there forever, right?
But you know what? They're gone. And also, restaurants... There's the
burn
the,
in hell, you son of a bitch.
I wonder what Breaking took. Do you know what took over it?
I forget.
But is it a restaurant or is it something else?
I'm not quite sure. It's a restaurant.
Okay, well, we don't know what took over that real estate, but what we will say about it is that it never looked appealing enough to even go inside.
I did go inside once, and I looked around, and I saw the cuisine, and then I walked away, because I was like, I'm not going to spoil my palate, my food palate.
Yeah, it's not really worth it. Like, once you've had a taste of good barbecue, you really can't go to average barbecue.
You can't.
It's just disgusting.
You really can't.
It's really disgusting. But yeah, anyway, I never felt compelled to walk inside that door. But you know what? The Yelp thing, I sometimes like to just read people's reviews, even if they're like a halfway review or a negative review, because sometimes they're pretty funny.
That's just the main reason,
but
just,
you know,
just for the humor aspect.
Yeah,
of it.
But I've never actually reviewed myself. Like, I don't know, man. It's funny, like...
I review myself all the time. I always give myself bad ratings, too.
No,
I give
like,
myself 2.5 stars.
2.5 stars?
I get 2.5 stars.
Why?
Because that's who I am.
Do a Yelp review of yourself.
I can't. I just did. I give myself
so
2.5 stars.
That's basically like if you were on a dating site.
Sure.
How would you promote yourself if you were on a dating site?
Psychotic.
Yes. How appealing.
Yeah.
No,
psychotic,
I mean, like,
with a smile, ladies and gentlemen.
You're trying to get women.
Or the one thing people always say, like, oh, he's the jack of all trades. He does everything. I'm trying to, like, I feel like that's like a phrase that I'm starting to wonder if that's something that's wrong with me. Oh, he does everything. This is Joe. He does everything.
He does it all.
He does it all. There's nothing he doesn't do. And I'm just like, and in a way, I'm almost like, sometimes I feel like...
Well, do you do banking?
Do I do banking?
Yeah.
I can do banking.
What can you not do?
I think I can do anything.
So there you
Maybe
are.
That's
then
the
you
problem.
Are the jack of all trades.
Maybe that's the problem.
You
but
should
like,
just retarget it to be like the Joe of all trades.
No, but I should be the Joe of all trades. But like, I feel like sometimes it's presented to me like it's like maybe like it's a problem that like, oh yeah, of course Joe knows how to do that. Like it's always like, of course he can do that.
Oh, there he is again.
There you go. He does it again. You know, and I feel like it's like maybe I should just stop. I don't know. Like at least I don't do everything. There's lots of things I don't do. I don't do heart surgery.
You don't paint your nails.
I don't paint my nails, though I'm fully capable of painting my nails if I wanted to.
But I asked you to, and then you
there's
will
a difference.
Not paint
my Yeah,
nails.
There's a difference between doing that and saying I can do it and not doing it. But, like, I feel like it's you know, I feel like maybe is it a problem that I can do so many things? I was always told, they're like, oh, jack of all trades, master of none. And I always thought that line was bullshit, and the reason why I do a lot of stuff... I don't go out and wake up every day and say, like, I'm going to do everything. I'm going to go fight fire. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to go outbench this dude. You know, this is the thing that people put on me. And I feel like I'm starting to feel like it's working. People are using it against me.
Well, if you had
happy 300, Joe,
if you had a license plate or like some type of bumper sticker, what would it say if you were on a dating site?
What,
you
know, like on a license plate?
Yeah, or no,
on
no.
a dating site
no,
license plate?
Like,
what the
you
hell
know,
does
like
that mean?
Summing up like your mantra.
My mantra?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like,
what's Joe's tagline?
Yes.
Do what makes you happy.
Okay. Well, I can see like people would appeal to that if you had your Yelp page. They'd be like, Joe, do what makes you happy. Okay,
well, you know,
that guy sounds carefree.
Well, you remember like when I'm writing.
You're a free spirit.
Always when I'm writing my bio, and like I feel like a lot of times now people are maybe looking at it as bullshit when I'm overly positive about certain things. Like, no, you can do it. You know, whenever I'm trying to help motivate people, and I feel like. Now it maybe becomes like a gimmick where people are like, oh, of course Joe is going to take the positive side. And it's funny because like when I think of myself and my thoughts, and I'm always talking about myself in the show, with our show, and like it's funny because in my head, I'm super negative. Well, not negative, but I'm always practical towards what can or cannot happen, you know? And what I feel like a lot of people don't get to realize is that like if I truly believe that you can't do a certain thing when I am in my most honest perspective, believe that like if I'm telling someone something, remember there's certain things I can't lie, and I'm now it just happens every so everything I say is fucking the truth, you know? Mm-hmm. So when I say that you can, that I believe that you can do something, and that, no, this is great, I honestly fucking believe that shit. And now I feel like it's happened so many times where I'm telling someone, no, you can do it. No, it looks, no, it works. That, like, now I feel like people aren't believing it because, like, maybe I'm, I don't know, maybe that's just people are so used to me doing that. They want the negative Joe. Maybe so, it's coming back to that time. Remember, like, a couple years ago when people were like, oh, you're so nice. And then I went out my way to, I think the response of that was to be honest. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll be the honest asshole. And then now it just became, like, this positive, honest asshole.
So what gives you, like, 2.5 stars?
It's because what I think about myself, I'm not there yet. I'm not as great.
That's good, because then it's still, like, stuff for you to work on, sure, for the rest of your life, you know?
Yeah, it's a trick, though. It's a trick. It's like we were talking about when people, like, this thing about, you know, whenever I hear someone say, like, oh, I... Like, whenever they hate something that they just did, and they're like, I'm like, what's wrong with it? And they're like, I'm just a perfectionist. And I'm like, in my head, when I hear people say they're a perfectionist, my honest reaction is, you're fucking bullshit, you know? Perfectionist. Because it's a fucking lie, man. Perfection. What the hell is perfection? There is no perfection. It's a subjective term that people have.
I've seen those people, though. They, like, have every hair in place.
But that's not perfect either.
Yeah, but it is perfect.
But it's not perfect.
They combed it a million times. It's all straight.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And then their handwriting is all perfect. They never have, like, crinkly papers or anything. Yeah, it's all organized.
Yeah, but let's think about this. If we're talking about, like, perfectionist. So,
but it's all, like, appearances, you know?
No, but also, like, a perfection. All right. If you're going to talk about perfectionists and, you know, even things we're talking about with Yelp, how the 5 stars is apparently perfect, you know, the best thing ever. And we're talking about people who are perfectionists, right? And then, like, let's think of what perfect or perfect being perfect is. Perfect is what? A straight line? That's subjective. Is a straight line perfect? What if I don't want a straight line? What if, remember, like, a lot of times where I was telling you, it's like, maybe you shouldn't draw these panels with a ruler. Maybe you should just do it by hand. You know, and to me, when I looked at that, I was like, that's freaking perfect. So it's like, there's perfect for a situation. So perfection is, you know, based on a direction, you know, and perfect is what I find is perfect is not perfect with other people. And that's why it's all bullshit.
Now on Yelp, how often do you visit Yelp?
I never visit Yelp.
Okay, so you don't even go on it. But I'm saying,
I mean, I've been on it before, and when we're in, like, a group and people are like, where should we eat? And they're like, I'm always just like, oh, look at Yelp, what do they have on there? And they're like, this says 2 stars. And I was like, well, the picture looks good. It looks, you know, it's like, then everything has 2 stars.
Okay, so, like, personally, if something's like 50-50, like an esta-esta, I feel like it's because, like, it's kind of a good thing, though, to be ranked 50-50. Or at least, like, you know what I mean? Or more on the like, maybe 75, 25. Because then it's, like, more of a positive thing to be ranked like that, because it's, like, they have a lot of fans, but then they have, like, those randoms that just don't get it. And so then that's what makes that place special.
It's to me, this is what happens. It's, like, in the medium ground is, yeah, that's, like, acceptable. You know, if you get the medium stars, that's fine. But when it gets overly too many stars... Some part of me starts feeling like it's a lie. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, these are just like, you know, it's like Battle of the Bands. You just bring in your own people to put your own vote. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But if it's way down, then I'm like, okay, there's something wrong with it.
Yeah,
you know,
like barbecue like world.
Yeah, so in the medium ground, you're like, okay, people love it and hate it. That's what everything should almost be, love and hate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not saying that my opinion is, you know, the greatest opinion in the world, but it's my opinion and it seems weird.
Speaking of restaurants, the state of Virginia was named... by some fancy magazine.
Virginia Living?
It wasn't Virginia Living magazine. It was like a national magazine, not a regional magazine.
Rolling Stone?
But yeah.
Nature
Valley? They were named as the, you know, the place to watch for food. The number one food of foodie town.
Virginia's awesome. Our area, this whole, it's weird because I felt like a couple years ago, or more than that, like, growing up, people were like, oh, you live in Virginia? It's so lame. And it's
who maybe, said that?
I don't know. Could have been anyone. Anyone on Yelp. The Yelp of the states. But it's true. There's a lot of great stuff in Virginia. There's a lot of great stuff in any place, but I'm feeling pretty strong about this area.
That's good.
You know,
I
when
mean,
people are like, you should go
puts
to...
us on the map.
When people are like, before, you're like, you need to... You're a filmmaker. You do all this. You do everything. You're jack of all trades. You need to go to L.A. You go to New York. And, like, you know, I chose not to. I'm feeling okay about that.
Everybody's moving on up here, you know? It's booming. And then
people
and
didn't
then
know
I
what
hear,
they had.
And then I hear that in the D.C. area, 1,000 new residents are coming each month to live. So it's 12,000 people a year.
Where are they living?
I don't know, man. Crawl spaces.
It's like jam-packed as it is, isn't it?
Yeah, they need to figure out the traffic. That's like the main complaint about I have of this area. Like, in general, I like it. But, like, the traffic is pretty horrible.
It's freaking apocalypse every single time.
Yeah, it's like you basically going into battle, especially every morning. It's almost like, it's either like you should just probably wake up like really early. But then, I don't want to like basically wake up 2 hours early just so I can like get to work on time. Yeah. I'd rather just like be like, oh, I don't know, I'll sit through it. It's not worth those 2 hours.
It makes sense.
It's too cold in the morning.
It makes sense to have that much traffic. It's perfect. That traffic is perfect. That's the most perfect traffic that you'll ever witness in your life. I kid you not. You're not going to see any other perfect traffic.
How is it perfect?
It's perfect. Because if you think of the definition of traffic, that's fucking traffic. Perfect traffic is what that is. It's pretty scary, though. Because
see, now we have
to
define perfection.
I just get sort of really annoyed with that. When, like, lots of people, I get surrounded by lots of people. I'm a perfectionist. And it's just like, is there a standard?
That's a certain type of person, though, you know?
That's true.
Like, you got to have those people.
You do have to have those people. It's perfect to have a person that's a perfectionist and a person that's a realist or a person that's like a, you know, I don't know, a visionist. I don't know what the hell.
I think for a while I did go through a perfectionist phase, but it didn't last very long.
But there's something perfect about not being perfect that I really find perfect.
Well, speaking of that,
disheveledness is perfect.
You know, Renee Zellweger apparently got a new face that was revealed this week. And, like, before, you know, I have not researched all of it. I don't know if she has had plastic surgery or what. But the thing is, like, she looks different. And
maybe she'll get different roles now.
A lot of people
change her face, get a different role. It's perfect.
A lot of people say, oh, you know, she's unrecognizable and stuff like that. But the thing is, like, I kind of feel bad for her and for, like, aging actors, which I probably shouldn't feel bad because they're probably multimillionaires and they probably don't need anything else in their whole life. The thing is, Renee Zellweger was in a couple pretty good movies.
Two movies?
Well, she's in more than a couple, but I did like Down With Love. It did not do very well in the box office, but I enjoyed that movie. And I think a couple of other movies I've seen, I like her, you know, like I didn't dislike her. And I have not seen Bridget Jones' Diary, but she did have...
She was the it girl for a time.
Yeah, for a while she was the it girl, and she did have a unique look, but people were always making fun of her, saying like lemon face, and like she had squinty eyes, and, you know, kissed up lips and stuff. Like, she looked like she had a sour face.
I really don't understand, because like... Her face was fine before. It almost seems like an accident. Like, that's like a surgical accident, and she had to, like, fix it. You know what I mean?
I have no idea. I know that
like,
she has
made... cheek
implants
that made her, like, too, like, kissy face, you know?
She has made comments saying that she has been healthier and she's more trim. And they said, like, when women get older, their face kind of thins and, like, elongates. And, because it's been a couple years since she's made, like, a public appearance, I guess. And she said she's healthier. And she said overall she's actually glad that people noticed her look because she said, you know, she's happy now. So
it's
funny
because I haven't seen her face. Describe her new face, her brand
new
face.
Like, her eyes are open more, I
guess. Is this technically a new face or is this just, like...
I mean, I can recognize that it is her, but a lot of people think that she looks very different. Her eyes are open more.
It's funny because, like, the Renee I remember in my head for some reason always has short hair. Does she have long hair now?
Yeah, she has longer hair. I mean, but it's hard because my phrase is you're never good enough. And it's like for her, it's like she's never good enough because before she did have a more unique look. And now, honestly, she kind of just looks like everyone else.
Curse, isn't it?
I feel like she lost her uniqueness. You know, like,
I remember
she doesn't look horrible. She's not ugly, but she just doesn't look like the Renee Zellweger that we're used to.
I remember being in a fight not recently, but the last time I was in, I had like a verbal like disagreement and fight with Huzzard was when he was telling us like, oh, we're all just normal. You got to give up. Like, we're all just the same as everything else. And then,
so what was this verbal? Was this an in-person verbal fight?
It was like we were watching a pay-per-view. Remember, he said that he was like saying something about, like, I was like, well, I gotta be unique somehow. And he's like, no, you're just, you know, like, you're the same as everything else. Everyone's just the same. You're never, like, nothing's ever gonna change. And in my head, that literally, like, set me off. I was like, the fuck if I'm gonna be the same as everything else? You know? Like, I just can't.
But I guess with the Renee thing, it just kind of, like, hurts a little bit just to know that, like, she was kind of, like, made fun of for a while, like, Lemon Face and
dude,
all those.
She was made fun of for years.
And then, like, but she was, but now it's kind of, like, in my head, I'm like, I kind of wish you were still Lemon Face. So it's like,
maybe because that plastic surgery stuff only lasts a certain amount of years.
It does?
Yeah, like implants and stuff like that, it wears away after a time.
Oh, maybe she'll go back to being Lemon Face.
It's the same thing with boob implants. Those last for like 5 years, and you got to get them replenished.
What about the eye thing, though? If she had like her fat taken out under her eyelids,
all that stuff wears away over time. You got to like keep refreshing it.
Well, who
knows? I'm not perfect in assuming with those things, but
it just sucks too because she's gotten a little older. Not like she's not old. She still looks good, but like the thing is like actresses, especially like have so much attention on their wrinkles and this and that, and it's like. I really think, like, once a woman hits 30, they're like, well, bye, you're not youthful anymore, you're gone. It's kind of sad. It's kind of really sad how, like, I guess that's the Hollywood machine, because there's always going to be, like, a hot 21-year-old that they can go after and then
like
recycle the women every year.
Like, you can be up in a week and down in a week. It's almost like, why even try? It's like, in my perspective is this. You can't chase the fame, but you can chase the craft.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can chase the craft. You can be the best actor, whatever, in that. But if you're chasing the fame, it's like you're chasing like just being hot and the it factor. You know what I mean? And that's one of those things. It's like you're always gonna want to strive for like.
But
I don't know how to best describe it, but it's like something that's probably gonna eat away at you.
There's always, like, an it girl, like, every other year, too. Or
there has
year.
To be, because I mean, that's how we are.
Like, there's, like, Heather Graham.
You talk about Heather Graham?
I never hear about Heather Graham anymore. No, seriously, when Austin Powers came out, she was the it girl of, like, that summer.
Yeah, see, and how long is the summer?
The summer. Four
yeah,
months.
3 months. So if you're striving for that, all you can do is capitalize it. But I feel like, you know...
I mean,
you
even, like, Kate Beckinsale was
milk
hot
it.
For a while. And, you know, like, all of those actresses. And some of the, you know, they're still working and stuff. But it's like, you just don't hear about them all the time.
Because the good ones are chasing the craft.
Like,
something
Winslet.
Substantial.
Like Kate Winslet.
Imagine being a model and, like, you're like, oh, I'm the hot shit. And, like, well, and then here comes the new girl right through the door. You're like, well, now you're not the hot shit. Now you're on crack. Now you're this. Now you're washed up. Now you got nothing to do because your skills are just walking down a runway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, what else do you bring to the table? The craft. That's what's attractive. It's not just the. It's like, what else can you bring?
You can just milk it for like whatever that year.
Well, yeah, you gotta milk it.
But it's after that. It is kind of rough though, because everyone like basically like looks up your nose or looks up every little like wrinkle in your face. You know, it's just like so hard. I think especially for women. I don't know, there's definitely a double standard for that. Because, like, George Clooney can have another gray hair and people are like, oh, he's so dignified. He's amazing. But then, like, when a woman...
he's amazing, he grew another gray hair.
And then when a woman has a gray hair, it's like, dye that, get it away from us, pluck it, get it away. It's like, so, it's definitely, like, the opposites.
But that's also, like, that's women. Women are hard on each other, man.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. I don't know. I mean, I want to support. What? You should not have said that?
No, I should not assume. But that's what I assume.
I mean, it is pretty hard. I mean, I don't. I don't think anyone wants to grow up and get all wrinkly and gray hair. Like, no one's like, I can't wait for that. You know, like, but
it's like I feel bad
for Renee. You know, because it's like I don't know what her actual struggle is. Because like she says she feels better and healthier. So I just gotta at least just say, hey. If she's going out there publicly saying that she's better and healthier and she's happier, then I guess that's good for her.
But living well is the best revenge.
Yeah. I mean, she's got to be living well.
She's got to be.
Yeah. She's got to be.
Just got to be, or else where'd she go?
Yeah. So that's good. But we should talk about New York Comic Con and all of our adventures, too.
So one thing that stands out in my mind of New York Comic Con, and I never even posted any of these photos that I shot, but we ate at the same Turkish cuisine 4 nights in a row.
Yes.
Because of how awesome. That's going to always stand in my mind because it became like a home.
It was like the bang, 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 bang of Turkish cuisine every night. But yeah, and we'd tell like the wait staff, we'll be like, we'll be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they just like giggle and they're like, yeah, we'll be here tomorrow. You know,
but that's a cool thing because it's almost like, you know, usually we walk around and see all the other stuff. But we've seen a lot of the stuff we've already wanted to see. But it was cool to be like, this is our place. This is our joint now.
Yeah.
You know, and this is only like really 3 blocks. I don't know. You know, like.
But
15
also,
minute walk
like,
away from the convention center.
It's cool because basically like we're like, we'll see you next year.
Yeah.
And so like basically we'll probably do the same thing next year.
I don't think I've even had any other Turkish food other than that place, Turkish cuisine on 9th Avenue, right? What's that?
We can research some other Turkish cuisine. I mean I've made eggplant a lot, so I think it is very reminiscent of some of the things that they made. I've been trying to make. I should definitely research making my own Turkish food. But it is amazing. It tastes so great, and it was good to be there.
Seems like it's so simple, too. So simple and delicious.
Simple, but not.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was really good food. I mean, I've never eaten at a restaurant 4 days in a row.
I know, it's so amazing. It was so amazing.
I don't think I've ever eaten.
It's the cheapest place, but whatever.
I mean, it's not that bad. Like, most of the meals were between...
Those are like hill country prices, though.
No, but it wasn't that bad, Joe. Most of the meals were like between $15 and $20. They made you full. And if you think about it, it's New York City, Hell's Kitchen, for dinner. What were you expecting? $8? Like, you're not going to find any meal for dinner in New York City for $8.
I can always dream. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, like if you get the $1 pizza slice.
I was just thinking about that.
I'm talking about like a sit-down meal.
I was just
with candlelight.
That wasn't just some sort of like franchise
that's
in
not
Times
like
Square.
McDonald's or like a pizza slice. I'm talking about a legitimate restaurant.
That Turkish cuisine restaurant was perfect. That was perfect, man.
But do you see what I'm saying, though, Joe? Like, as far as the price, it's actually not that bad.
That's sure. Because
there's probably, like, fancy restaurants down there, too, that are probably, like, $25, $30 for dinner. I mean, this is dinner in New York City. Everything in New York City is expensive. You're not going to find, like, $8 meals there. You're just not.
You just...
For dinner.
I mean, yeah, you can,
I mean,
but...
like
yeah.
I said, do you want to eat at McDonald's?
I never want to eat at McDonald's.
Well, there you go.
I don't want to eat any fast food. I barely want to eat cheese anymore, but I do.
You don't want cheese?
I do want cheese, but like...
You're trying to cancel it out?
No, I'm not trying to cancel it out.
Yeah, well, you know,
Maybe before a Mickey and Mallory performance, I will not eat any cheese or dairy. It's for vocals.
How about that?
Yeah, that's what Jessica taught me.
But
then I screwed it up every time.
Yeah, well, there you go. You got to pay attention and have a regime. But like, basically... What I'm getting at is for the price, yeah, you might not at home eat like $20 meal every night. That's a little much. But since you're out in New York and it's like semi-vacation, I mean, what else are you going to eat? Because also I felt like it was healthy. Because if we were to eat poorly, we wouldn't feel good the next day.
That's true, especially since that really was our only meal.
That was, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, mornings we did get like a bagel.
That's true. But if you think about it, if we were to eat like a breakfast and then a lunch and then a dinner... You know, then all that stuff would add up to already like
over 20.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we did it pretty well. We had snacks behind the booth.
I never really ate a lot of snacks though, because we had all those peanut butter pretzel thing. I thought I was going to be chowing down on that, but then I still fought myself from doing it. I was just fighting myself.
You know, the thing is, it is kind of hard to like eat behind the booth because I can sneak bites here and there, but then occasionally you'll get like somebody come up to the booth that wants to talk to you, and then you're like, and you have to like point to your mouth and be like, I'm chewing. You know, it's hard to sneak those bites in when you're trying to deal with like potential customers.
Because people are always walking up just when you start to eat something.
Exactly. So, you know, I just felt like I could hold it. Like, I also held the bathroom.
Palm of your hands.
Only one time I did leave to go to the bathroom while the show was on.
Because you guys have such a long line for the bathroom.
Yeah, and also, well, okay, just to recap, like, New York Comic Con is 4 days. It's a Thursday through Sunday show. And it's every October before Columbus Day. And, you know, the thing is like, first of all, New York Comic Con this year was massive. I don't remember the exact numbers that were reported afterwards, but from what they say, it's more attendees than San Diego Comic Con now, which
yeah,
is amazing.
It is. Yeah,
that's just like straight up like, what? But then I talked to people that have been to San Diego before, because Joe and I have not been to San Diego yet. And people that have been to San Diego were like, No, it's nowhere near the crowds. It's not like San Diego at all. But I don't know if they're taking to account, like, the floors of the Javits Center.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how San Diego is necessarily set up, if it's one big floor, if it has two floors. Because at Javits, they have, like, the whole panel area that's downstairs. And that is just... was just full of people. Like, full of people. And I basically made effort to stay at the booth most of the time because that's where I need to be. And
but let's also think about this. Let's think about this, too. San Diego has its... like, it's... I mean, like, you know, New York does have its television and its movies, you know what I mean? But they're not as high profile as at the San Diego level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And to say that New York's attendance was still more than that, and they had a more high profile people, like of guests or something, that's still pretty amazing to me. And also, I feel like when you're talking about New York, San Diego, you're not in like a city. Like in New York, you can leave the convention and you still got like all, you've got Times Square like three blocks away, yeah. Or more than three blocks, but you know, like in some walking distance. So I feel like it's even more appealing in that way.
Yeah, New York, it seems like it's easily maintainable to actually do that show.
To do other stuff too.
And to do other stuff, whereas like San Diego, I did hear that this year they were bringing like food trucks and like, they were working with like local restaurants to try to get food closer to the San Diego Convention Center. But it just seems like a lot harder in that location. Again, I haven't been there, so it's really hard to say. But New York is like a feasible place to like... and there's so many people that are already living in New York that can easily just take the subway there. And they probably are like, hey, I'll buy a ticket. I'll go to New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
And like the cool thing is like now conventions are so mainstream. It's almost like there's a convention going on anywhere in America any weekend now. And especially some that overlap now, too. So there's just, like, conventions going up the wazoo. But the crazy thing is that's really awesome is just by people watching at New York Comic Con, which is an amazing free entertainment thing to do, there was every age there. There was babies. There was toddlers. There was... I mean, I don't know if I straight up saw babies, but there was toddlers. There was teenagers. There were older people. There were people in wheelchairs. There were... like men, there were women, there were middle aged, they were professional people, there were people that probably don't have jobs, there were people that like that any race too, like black people, white people, Asian people,
you got
Indian
New York.
People.
It's New York,
it was like straight up everybody.
Yeah.
You know, like when you think if you've never been to a comic convention before, I can easily have like everyone thinking that they're just like the comic book guy from The Simpsons. You know, like some straight up, like fat white guy that's just like, oh, I read comics and I live in my mom's basement and I have a lisp and what happened in issue number 39, Spider-Man is the best one ever. You know, like they're just like
when we ran into what's her name, the April O'Neil, the porn star, like when she because she's used to going to San Diego, so she knows how big the San Diego show is, you know?
Uh-huh.
But then, like, when we asked her, like, so how's New York? She's like, I didn't know it was going to be this big. So, like, even to her, like, it was a pretty awesome big show, you know? And she's been to both.
Well, but, I mean, I just think it's really amazing, though, that literally, like, every type of demographic was there. It wasn't like you can just pinpoint and be like, oh, yeah, it's full of just old white men.
Yeah.
You know, like...
like it used to be.
It wasn't like that at all. It was like straight up everybody, which is so cool.
But also
even
you
like,
have everything there, too.
But even like when I go to music shows, like you can like straight up say like, oh, this is the type of person that is the fan of Jack White. Or like this is the type of person that is the fan of... Ludacris or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know why.
Ludacris.
I don't know why that name just like popped in my head.
Stand up!
I've never even been to a Ludacris show. But I'm serious. Like, you can go to certain music shows and look around and be like, okay, these people kind of like jive together, you know? And I've never actually been to a music show that had everybody. I have not. And I've been to several concerts, and I have not been to like a music show that had such a diverse crowd.
Because let's think about it. We don't actually go to those shows that are like that big mainstream type of.
But still, like, I don't even think that those are like, if you go to a U2 show, you're probably gonna see like middle-aged white people that might have family.
So what were your highlights?
Or be on date night.
What were your highlights of New York Comic Con? Like, did you have?
Well, first of all, like, seriously, like, one of the top highlights was just seeing all different types of people. And it was good to see that, because I was like, man, this shows how comics are, like, and just pop culture and everything is driving together with everyone.
Yeah.
And I love seeing that. And highlights. Oh, yes.
Highlights.
I took my picture with E.T. in drag, And he looked awesome. He was like wearing his dress and his hat and stuff, and pearls or whatever necklace he was wearing. He looked great. And I was wearing a dress that day, so I looked great too. We both were fashionable.
You look fabulous. We're both looking great.
Looking amazing. Looking so hot with E.T. Oh my God. And so that was like a highlight for me to see E.T. But also, I loved the Weta Digital booth.
That was a highlight for me too.
And they had that sleeping dragon.
Yeah, the dragon's head.
There's a giant dragon's head with built into a rock structure. And the dragon looked like he was sleeping. And then as you walk by, he will open up his eyelid a little bit. And like his eyeball would move when you walk.
It was massive. Like the head was probably the size of like the studio right here.
A whole house.
Yeah.
Seriously. A whole house.
We were like at the end, we're like, how are they going to take that down?
I have no idea. But yeah, like that. That was pretty amazing. And then they had other artifacts from a lot of their movies that they've done with Lord of the Rings. So that was really exciting to see that. Like, basically, my main highlights are basically in the mornings on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We like to arrive a little bit early so we can walk around the floor. And, like, no one is there. No one's even, like, set up. I mean, they're set up, but all their tables are covered. Yeah. And a couple people might be walking around, but there's no one there.
Those are my favorite moments.
Seriously, because you can walk around and just enjoy the show without having to deal with people. As an exhibitor, too, it's a whole different ball game when you're an exhibitor at a comic show, because
it truly is.
You can't be a fan. You really can't. You can't go out and get freebies. You can't.
You're there to hustle.
You're there to work your booth, you know? So it is enjoyable to get there early and somewhat enjoy the show, or at least know where things are located and that. But I did try to leave the booth once. I think it was either on Saturday or Friday. I can't remember which day. Maybe it was Saturday. But they had a panel on Bee and Puppy Cat, and Cooney actually exposed me to Bee and Puppy Cat a couple months ago.
Exposed you to?
Yeah. He just like exposed him. And it was Bee and Puppy Cat.
This is Bee and Puppy Cat.
Yeah, I was like, please put that away, Cooney. but yeah, so I was like interested in seeing that panel. But so I left. Joe was like, maybe you should leave early. But I was like, but I gotta be at the booth. And I'm used to like the older New York Comic Con where there wasn't that many people as much. And you could probably just walk into a panel a few years ago. And so I walked to the panels. And I got there pretty quick. Like I got there in 10 minutes because I can basically dart through the crowds like a fish. And so I darted down there. And because everyone else is like stopping, taking pictures, and I'll just dart around it.
Like a fish.
Yeah, like a fish. Like a fish swimming, like going through all the people. So I did that, and I found where the panel is, and then they just closed it off. And then I looked at the line, and it was like all zigzaggy and people sitting on the floor. And I was like, first of all, I was like, maybe I'm just too prissy or something, but I'm like, I don't even want to sit on the floor like that.
You're like, fuck this.
Yeah, I'm just like,
that's
no.
So common. That's a commoner move.
No, I'm not going to even try. You know, and then she's like, oh, it just closed. And I was like, okay, good. And then I just went back up and swam like a fish back up and went to a couple booths before like came back to our booth. But seriously, like, I don't have really patience for that. Like, it's cool for, like, those type of fans that really want to be there, but as an exhibitor, it's not really worth me waiting, whatever, 2 hours before an event just so I can get a seat.
I think that was one. That was one of the lines I used on when I met Julian Anderson, and I was trying to get like a video message, and she was like, "Are you gonna go for the? Are you maybe at the photo op?" I was like, "I can't," and I showed her my badge. I'm an exhibitor. I got like I'm leaving my table just so I can. I'm losing money just so I can meet you right now.
Yeah,
and that's true. It's like you got to be there at the table. You got to hustle.
Yeah, you do. And, I mean, I loved everyone I met there. It was really great. Like, I must say also, on top of everything, this was our best show ever. So that, it felt good to know that, like, we were successful at the biggest show we've ever probably been to.
Yeah.
And it was like, wow, this is awesome. It's, like, so amazing to, like, feel good about a show, you know? And, because New York is expensive, you know? And we stay with a pal and if we didn't have our friends to stay with for each year that we've done this show, we probably could not even do the show.
Yeah, it's a team effort in that case too.
Yeah.
Anytime we go to New York, it's literally we're so thankful for all of our friends and people that we know there because without them we'd not be able to do anything. We'd be poor.
Yeah.
We'd be super poor just walking the streets.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we could sleep in the car or something. Is that illegal to do that? I've never done that.
Oh, it's illegal if you get caught.
Really?
I don't know.
But then you hear about people that like live in their cars, so what do they do?
I mean, that's why you buy a car.
It's like a house.
Yeah. Just put a pillow in there. You can sleep in there. It's fine.
Interesting.
That would suck if you're not allowed to sleep in your own property.
I don't know. I've heard somewhere.
Excuse me, sir. You can't sleep in your own car. I own this car. Get off of my property.
I don't know all the details about that, but yeah, I've never had to do that, luckily, but I was close one night once, but I've never actually slept in the car a full night.
I've slept in my car several million times.
Really?
Yeah. Gets cold, sometimes it gets hot. The key component to sleeping in your car is a sleeping bag.
That's pretty sweet.
That sleeping bag is so crucial that, like, in all my working time, I've, like, just the idea of, like, I remember a full year when I was working, I had to travel and then sleep in my car because I had no place to stay, and I didn't want to stay at, like, a motel or something like that because I didn't have a lot of money. I still don't have a lot of money. But like, I remember being like, why don't I just bring a sleeping bag? Because when you're wrapped in there, it's so comfortable. And just bring a pillow, sleeping bag, you're set.
I don't
and you're
have
like
a
protected.
Sleeping bag, but I do have a old comforter that is in my trunk.
But it's not the same. You can't zipper yourself into that. Because once
I know,
you're
but
zippered
at least
into
I
it,
have that just in case of emergency.
You should get a sleeping bag because that's something you camping. That's what that's for. So you just put that in your car and you're zipped up and you're comfortable. You know, you're all warm and toasty, and then
that would be amazing.
Up. Yeah, and the phone charger is in there. You're fine.
Dude, I don't even need a real house.
Living large is what that's called.
I don't even need a real house. I could just live in the car.
You don't need a real house. You need a gingerbread house.
Oh my God.
So you just eat the
Can
house.
Can we just do
live
that?
In a gingerbread house.
Yeah.
In the summertime.
Yeah. Woo. Show's wrapping up. I hear the wrap-up music. But
yeah. Episode 300!
Woo! 300. But yeah, great news to report about New York Comic Con. We had such a great time. And the pictures are all up on, if you go to curls-studio.com, go to the blog, and scroll down a little bit, and you'll find the New York Comic Con recap. And then that also links to more photos on our Facebook page in the gallery. But yeah, we have so many great stories from New York Comic Con.
And we'll just keep telling them because
forever.
300 is just the beginning of the awesomeness of the Carolyn and Joe show. That's the way I think about it. I was like, I wanted to make it special, but you know, sometimes when you have so many lives and so many worlds happening, so many shows putting on, it's special just being on the show
but
and making it happen.
But do you know what? I thought this episode was special. I thought it was
They're
a
all
good
special.
Episode.
They're all special.
300.
They're all special. I just like surprises. Making it to 300 is pretty great. Making it to 300
is
pretty great.
Let's do a high five. Studio high five.
High five!
Yes.
Congratulations.
We did it.
If we had a cake, we would eat it.
And we'll eat it too.
Yes.
Have your cake and eat it too. Yes.
But we'll just keep going. 301.
301 Dalmatians.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Can we do like a Dalmatian episode?
I don't even know what
time?
That means. I have no idea what that means.
It would be like 101 Dalmatian, but they're 301.
Okay.
I'm
not going to get them, but
we'll have 301 dogs in the studio to celebrate our 301 episode. What do you think about that? I'm full of great ideas.
Sure, we need to make content. Why not?
You can have like dogs barking the whole time.
No.
Why not?
I'm not going to do that.
Come on, man.
You can have dogs barking
all
the time.
Are you a fan of Dalmatians?
Sure.
I like them.
There's nothing wrong with them. They have dots.
I don't really know too much about their personality, but they seem pretty cool.
They have dots on them. You don't see humans with dots on them.
Some people do. They have birthmarks.
That's true. That is true.
But you know
what?
They're
not white and black.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
He's not.
He's both colors.
No, he's not.
He's an alien.
Yes, he's an extraterrestrial. The truth is out there, and it's Michael.
My name is Agent Michael.
No.
Agent M.
Agent, yeah.
See, he's like a straight-up alien.
I love that stuff. I love Men in Black. I love X-Files. All that's the, like my dream is to be like that. That's how I see my world. It's either I want to be a Men in Black or I want to be X-Files.
Well, you're living in the city, so you could get those type of jobs if you want.
No, like really searching for, I don't know.
That's what they really do.
But like in a secret. See, that's the thing that's messed up about my world. It's like, I love people to see all my stuff, but then again, I still want to be a secret person. I'm such a contradiction. What the hell's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? That's the message for episode 300 is we can't figure out what's wrong with Joe. Everything's awesome about Carolyn. Carolyn, you're perfect.
I thought you didn't believe in perfection.
No, I didn't believe when people say they're perfectionist.
Oh.
But my opinion on what perfect is stands in my mind.
Oh, thank you. And that's a good compliment.
It's my opinion. My opinion is my opinion. It's just opinion. I remember Jimmy Palmiotti saying, like, don't listen to other people's opinion. It's just their opinion. It's just my opinion. I can say whatever I want. You don't have to take it. But if you do, then that means it means something.
Yes.
I always dislike it when people are like, if you give them like a compliment and they're like, no, I'm ugly.
That
I'm like,
just
fine,
reminds me of
fine,
like the high school senior photos. Like everyone looked good in their senior photos and then they're just like, I don't know. They're like, oh, I feel ugly. And I'm like, dude, everyone looks good in their senior photos.
Sure.
Pretty much.
Sometimes.
I'd say most people did.
But either way, if someone gives you a compliment and the first thing you can think of is like, no, I'm ugly, then fine, you're ugly. But that person still thinks you look pretty good, so that has to mean something.
Well, maybe it will change their opinion. Maybe
hopefully
they'll be
it
like,
does.
You know what? Actually, you are ugly.
Yeah.
Thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah,
for
thanks.
Me.
Thanks for showing me the truth. Now I don't have to play this game
so
with
you
anymore.
So you know what, everybody, when somebody gives you a compliment, even if you don't necessarily believe it, which you should, just say thank you.
That's right. Go to Yelp. Put it on your page. Put it on your personal page. And there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Episode 300 is in the can. Thank you again for everyone that's taken the time to listen to this podcast, wherever you're listening to it, on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, wherever you want to find it, CarolynandJoeShow.com. This show is brought to you by Straight Productions, StraightProductions.com. Go and check out my work at JoeCarabeo.com. Also, GoAstray.tumblr.com. And also, awesome films at One-Shots.com. We're going to try to keep on making that stuff for you. And don't forget to check out Curls, Karen Blefsky's work. Comic book work, comic strip work, check it out at curls-studio.com. You want to check out the comic strip? Put a slash on that. Type in curls. And there you go. See you later, Carolyn.
Adios, everybody. We'll see you at 301.
Yes! Yes!